please turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 13. Psalm chapter 13. This is the last of the Psalms for a season. We shall return, I think after Christmas or something like that. That's the plan. So enjoy it while it lasts. Psalm 13. And we're also looking at Psalm 43, which is very much like this psalm. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord's help. Oh, Father in heaven, we are amazed by Jesus, your Son, who bore our sins and our sorrows and made them his very own. Thank you that because of his suffering, we do not have to face eternal suffering. And Lord, as we face suffering here on this earth, I pray that we would fix our eyes on Jesus, who has suffered greatly, but reach glory. And I pray that we would not be ashamed to bear the cross in this life because there is a crown waiting for us. And pray that you would reorient our thinking and our souls to know that in this earth we have trouble, that we will have tribulation, but that we would take heart because your Son, Jesus Christ, has overcome the world. And I pray as we talk about depression and sorrow, I pray that you would meet us where we are, in whatever season of life we may find ourselves. Pray that you would minister your word by your Holy Spirit to us and meet our needs, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 13, let me read it for us. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dwelt bountifully with me. David was not a good believer. It was clear that he did not go to Sunday school when he was young. He thought that God had forgotten him, and he thought that God didn't see him. Ha! Every kid that goes to Sunday school knows that God knows everything and that God can see everything. What was wrong with David in Psalm 13? Well, it's clear that he didn't go to Bible college either. He didn't believe in God's omniscience, which means God knows everything. He didn't believe in God's omnipresence, which means that God is everywhere. David was not a good believer because he went around depressed instead of being joyful all the time. We should be very concerned for David and make sure he talks to someone about it. God used this guy to write parts of our Bible. What is wrong with him? He's saying, You've forgotten me, Lord. You've hidden thy face from me. I'm sorrowful all the day long. In reality, this despair that is described in Psalm 13 and many of the other Psalms is a normal, though not necessarily regular, part of the Christian life. God's word speaks to our despair, our depression, and our grief that we will encounter throughout our lives. And the Psalms make clear that both joy and sorrow are a regular part of the Christian experience. But the great news of the Psalms, the great news of the Word of God, is that God speaks into our life wherever our journey may lead us. And Psalm 13, as I entitle it, The Journey to Joy, God takes us wherever we are in our sorrow and our grief, and helps us along in the journey to joy. And there's three stages on this journey from sorrow to joy in the Lord. And I want us to take that journey today. I want us to take that journey today in this text, though in reality, it may take a week, a month, or a year. And our roadmap today for this journey has three parts: disorientation, reorientation, and orientation. And I've used those before in describing the Psalms, lament Psalms. Disorientation, reorientation, and orientation. So number one, this disorientation in verses 1 and 2. Where are you, O God? Where are you, O God? So David is despairing of his life in these first two verses. He believes that God has forgotten him. He cries, "How long?" Four times in the first two verses. He believes that God has forgotten him. He wants God to remember him. He feels that God has hidden his face from him instead of God looking favorably on him. And it says here, he's taking counsel in his soul. He's taking counsel in his heart, or his soul, which means he's talking to himself about what's going on in his life. We call that stewing. Stewing about what's going on in her life. So David's taking counsel. He's saying, "God, what are you doing?" And I'm stewing about it. And it says, "He is sorrowful in my heart daily," or all the time. This is pretty serious. Lastly, his enemy is exalted over him. And we know that David had many enemies throughout his lifetime. And this was a real and constant problem. And you may say to me, or say to David, "Hey, I don't have necessarily enemies waiting to kill me." And we've seen this issue in other Psalms. Say, David's praying against his enemies. How do we understand this in our lives? We don't have guys hiding in the bushes. Well, the bushes are very small now, outside of church. But when they were big, you don't have guys hiding in there waiting to take our lives. Well, this is where David was having his sorrow, from these enemies. For us, sorrow may come from all sorts of things. David was in sorrow over God's apparent silence over his enemy problem, and he was driven to despair. And we might have situations in our lives when we think and we feel like God has forgotten us. It doesn't have to be enemies. It could be anything. And we, like David, cry, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" And this is what we call spiritual disorientation, which is common to every Christian. So if you've experienced this spiritual disorientation, you are not alone. This is something that Christians experience, and that is very important to point out. You're not alone in feeling at times that God has forgotten you. And we study the Scriptures, we know that God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will always show us mercy. So are we terrible Christians for thinking and feeling like God has forgotten us? And the Psalms say no. We will have spiritual despair. We will have sorrow. We will feel like God has forgotten us. But the good news is that God does not leave us there. He does not leave us there thinking that he has forsaken us. He gives us a map so that we can journey toward joy in him. I'd like to read several other verses in the Psalms to show you how common this spiritual disorientation is. Psalm 10 says, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Psalm 22, cried by Christ on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest." And Psalm 43, "Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" And there's more. That's not the only ones. And this spiritual disorientation can come from anywhere in life. It could be as small as a lack of sleep coupled with a broken washing machine. And that is, you're done. You're done. You think that life has ended. Or, and as many of you experience, the death of a loved one can just bring this shock to you. So anywhere in between that, we could have this experience of sorrow for a day, for a week, for a year. This is very important. It is our experience of the events in our lives that lead us to feel like God has forgotten about us. I'll repeat that. It is our experience of the events in our lives that lead us to feel like God has forgotten about us. So everyone's experience is different, so an event may affect people differently, but we all have an experience of sorrow. So that's something common to us as humans and as Christians. And we know that in the scriptures that God is always working. God is always working in the believer's life. And he is always with us. And that's why we need spiritual reorientation. So I'm not here to tell you how long your experience of sorrow will last. Or how it will be like. How it will feel like. But these Psalms of Lament in the scriptures lead us through a process. And it will look differently for different people. Some of you are like Yorkie dogs. Despair? Let me chase this butterfly. Some of us, use that word, and importantly, some of us are more like bloodhounds. We just look mournful all the time. Why can't I have any fun? I'm just going to lay around and mope. See, God created us all with different personalities, and he gives us his word to guide us from despair to joy in him. So don't say, oh, that person, don't rubber stamp a certain personality as Christian maturity, okay? So we're all different, and despair and sorrow and Christian maturity look different in all of us. So this is this disorientation that we have in life, and we will face it. So number two, this reorientation from verses 3 and 4. Rescue me, O God! Rescue me, O God, is the cry of David. He says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. What does David ask for? He asks God to light up his eyes, or lighten his eyes. So what's the intended outcome of his request here in these verses? So, lighten my eyes so I will not sleep the sleep of death. So his enemies would not shake him or take advantage of him. We have to realize this is not a physical request. This is not a physical request, but a request for his soul. David's soul is despairing, and he asks God to heal his soul. David requests God to turn the light on in his heart or his soul. So what does this mean? Matthew Henry puts it this way. Strengthen my faith, for faith is the eye of the soul with which it sees above and sees through the things of sense. So the sleep of death that David wants to be rescued from is overwhelming despair that would shake him to the core of his being so his enemies would succeed in their exaltation over him. Let's go over to Psalm 43. I want us to really focus on this idea of lightening our eyes. Psalm 43, verse 3. So Psalm 43 begins very similarly to Psalm 13. But where are you, O God? And then verse 3. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, unto thy tabernacles. Then I will go up to the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp I will praise thee, O God, my God. So this is a similar request. The psalmist requests light and truth from God. So what light enables you to see truth? Light enables you to see truth. So the cry of the sorrowful Christian should be, God, please help me to see your truth that I cannot see because of my sorrow. Don't let me sink further into despair. And I think that's what the heart cry of David is here in Psalm 13. And I love what Psalm 43 adds to this. It adds meeting God at his altar. So David was thinking about going to Jerusalem or going to where the tabernacle was set up at that point and meeting God, meeting with God. And the great thing is we as New Testament believers, we don't go to the altar. We meet God through Jesus Christ. And this is a very important part of reorienting ourselves, going to God through Jesus Christ, knowing that we are accepted by the Father and loved by him. Well, how does this reorientation even work? How does this work for us in the Christian life? You may say, right now I'm confused. I don't know what's happening. I feel like I'm in a pit of despair. Pray. It starts with prayer. It starts with pleading with God to reorient your life around him. It begins by you crying out to God to shine his light in your heart so that you can see the truth. You may ask, how long will I be sorrowful? And that's what David was asking. How long, O Lord? I can't answer that. But I can give you something to think about. When your sorrow turns into self-pity, may be a clue that we are not honoring God in our sorrow. When our sorrow turns into self-pity, it may be a clue that we are not honoring God in our sorrow. God has a purpose for your sorrow. He has a purpose for trials in our life. But he wants us to journey toward joy in him, just like Jesus Christ, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Here's an example of this reorientation I'm talking about from the life of John Newton. From the life of John Newton. And he speaks about his soul struggle before the death of his wife. He says, I believe it was 2 or 3 months before her death when I was walking up and down the room, he's pacing, offering disjointed prayers from a heart torn with distress, that a thought suddenly struck me with unusual force to this effect. The promises of God must be true. Surely the Lord will help me if I am willing to be helped. He says, it occurred to me that we are often led to indulge in that unprofitable grief, which both our duty and our peace require us to resist to the utmost of our power. I instantly said aloud, Lord, I am helpless indeed in myself, but I hope I am willing without reserve that thou should help me. That's the cry of David in this verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 13. I think I'm willing. Help me, God. And this, I think, for John Newton, is God answering that prayer. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Send out your light and truth, and let them guide me. I need God to break through. So disorientation, reorientation, and number 3, orientation, verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dwelt bountifully with me. Whoa, what happened? Something changed. These verses are a lot different than the first 2 verses. David confesses that God has restored his trust and joy in God. He realizes that God indeed has dealt bountifully with him. And the question is that we've seen in other psalms of lament, have David's enemies gone away? No, they have not. But David has found something better than the vanquishing of his enemies. He has found God's steadfast love and God's salvation. In that way, God has dealt bountifully with him. And this orientation leads David to praise the Lord. I will sing, I will rejoice before God. If you want to flip over again to Psalm 43, it also has a very similar conclusion. Verse 4, then I will go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my God. So praise. And then, why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. David has oriented his hope in the right place, in God. David has found something better than the removal of his trials, and I hope you today will find something better than the removal of your sorrow, that you will find God, your soul's exceeding joy, that you will find that God has dwelt bountifully with you in his salvation. And folks, I mean, we just read Psalm 13 in 6 verses, and David's sorrow and then David's trust in the Lord. Trust, it's not an easy thing. Trust in God and hoping in God are not easy in times of sorrow that God brings our way. But again, we must pray that God would bring his light and truth to us so that we can see who he is. I love what Jerry Bridges says about trust. He says, trust is not a passive state of mind. Trust is not passive. It is a vigorous act of the soul by which we choose to lay hold on the promises of God and cling to them despite the adversity that at times seeks to overwhelm us. It's not passive. It's a vigorous act of the soul by which we choose to lay hold on the promises of God. And this is our cry. I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I want to trust you. Help me trust you more. And these are the kind of prayers that God delights to answer. This journey from disorientation to reorientation to orientation has been easy to speak on. But it is very hard to do. It is very hard to do. And I want to leave you with some practical suggestions on how to begin this journey to joy in God. And I have 7, which is a good number from the Old Testament, the number of perfection. Okay, number 1, be honest with God in your prayers. Be honest with God in your prayers. We look at the Psalms. We know what they say. If you've read the Psalms for any length of time, you know that the psalmists are very honest with what's going on. How long, O Lord? Why have you done this? These are very important things that we need to direct our sorrow to the Lord. So be honest with God in your prayers. Number 2, plead with God to shine his light into your soul. And that's the first. Say, God, I'm really confused. I'm sorrowful. I need your light. I need your truth. Don't neglect this simple but vital prayer. We need it. We need God's light and we need God's truth to break through into our souls. Number 3, look to Jesus. I love studying sorrow in the life of Jesus because it's really encouraging for me. Jesus bore our sorrows as we sang our last hymn. He was acquainted with grief. He wept at Lazarus' grave. He was forsaken by God so that we would never be forsaken by God. He, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. He is our Savior who will ultimately rescue us from sin and sorrow. He is our great high priest who understands our sorrows and offers grace and mercy in our time of need. He is our ultimate example of perseverance through suffering, which gives us great encouragement. So look to Jesus Christ. He has borne our sorrows and understands our suffering. Read the book of Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews as it points to Jesus who's gone through what we're going through right now. Number 4, speak to yourself, don't listen to yourself. And this verse is found 3 places, Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. We've read it already. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. This, folks, is called speaking the truth to yourself. We often listen to ourselves fuss about what is going on in our lives, but what we desperately need is to speak the truth about God to our own souls. And I've quoted this before. I don't think it was that long ago, but it is worth repeating. A quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones about the difference between listening to ourselves and talking to ourselves. The main trouble in this whole matter of spiritual depression, in a sense, is this, that we allow ourselves to talk to us instead of talking to ourselves. Am I just trying to be deliberately paradoxical? Far from it. This is the very essence of wisdom in this matter. Have you realized that the most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? There's a difference. Stop fussing to yourself and speak God's truth to yourself. And that is hugely important and something that I am learning. Number five, fill your mind with the attributes and promises of God. So when you are hit with sorrow, there are some times that you are actually unable to think clearly. That's some when you're hit with overwhelming grief. So the best time to learn about God, about the attributes and promises of God, is when you're not in deep sorrow. So study the promise of God. Study the attributes of God. Fill up your soul with who God is. So when you are struck with sorrow, you know beyond the shadow of doubt who God is. God's word is a defense against the sorrows of the soul. When we feel like God has forsaken us, we know it's not true. We can feel it, but we can speak the truth to our hearts. Number six, read the Psalms. Psalms have the complete range of human emotion, full range of the human experience, and God has preserved them for our encouragement and instruction in whatever God has given you in life. It doesn't matter where you are. There's something in the Psalms that will help you. Number seven, anyone guess what it is? Listen to good Christian music. And good Christian music is good on two fronts. Good music will lift your emotions on just a merely human level. And good words will cheer your soul and focus your mind in Christ. We don't want to be, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands kind of Christians. Like, that's the only kind of music you listen to. There's some radio stations you turn on, some Christian radio stations, it's all they play. Like, so if you're an unhappy Christian, you feel like something is wrong because everyone in those songs is happy. So we should be joyful, but that's not the only way the Bible directs us to worship God. I want us to be nourished by music that expresses the complete range of biblical emotion. And that's what I love about old hymns, that they're not afraid to talk about sorrow. Joy and sorrow, praise and lament, confidence and sorrow. And if you have questions, like, I want to get my hands on some good Christian music to listen to help me, ask me. I have recommendations that will, and we have plenty of CDs that we love to listen to that encourage us when we're sorrowful. And I want to close this evening with one of my favorite hymns, songs. I'm not going to sing it for you. I'm going to read it. Maybe one day we'll sing it as a church. It's called "Dear Refuge of My Weary Soul," and then four verses. This is an example of this kind of Psalm 13 happening right here. An example of a good Christian song to help us. Dear refuge of my weary soul, on thee when sorrows rise, on thee when waves of trouble roll, my fainting hope relies. To thee I tell each rising grief, for thou alone canst heal. Thy word can bring a sweet relief for every pain I feel. But oh, when gloomy doubts prevail, I fear to call thee mine. The springs of comfort seem to fail, and all my hopes decline. Yet, gracious God, where shall I flee? Thou art my only trust, and still my soul would cleave to thee, the prostrate in the dust. Hast thou not bid me seek thy face? And shall I seek in vain? And can the ear of sovereign grace be deaf when I complain? No, still the ear of sovereign grace attends the mourner's prayer. Oh, may I ever find access to breathe my sorrows there. Thy mercy seat is open still. Here let my soul retreat. With humble hope attend thy will and wait beneath thy feet. Thy mercy seat is open still. Here let my soul retreat. With humble hope attend thy will and wait beneath thy feet. Let's pray. My Father in heaven, thank you for your word. And I pray that your word would abide and the words of men would pass away. Pray that you would meet us where we are, Lord, joy or sorrow, lament, confidence. Pray that you would shine your light into our hearts so that we can see you, so we can see your truth. And I pray it would be the cry of our heart to know you, O God, our exceeding joy. So work in our hearts through your word, we pray. Amen.